from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
1 hour of Bennett Woods remaining here on a Monday, and then Annie and Elston will be here at 10 o'clock. Ooh. Craig got to PA a winning San Diego Wave game. First win in 10 matches since May.
Good God.
Now, this is not the regular season anymore. They're doing like a summer tournament while the rest of the top players are playing in the Olympics. But they did win 3-1 over Bay FC on Saturday night. And then last night, unfortunately, our San Diego Legion
saw this.
Were eliminated from the playoffs with a 30-28 loss to the Seattle Seawolves. Now, I watched that guy. I was working last night and pulling some highlights. So I actually watched most of the game. And I'm trying to get into rugby as a sport. I think there's some good aspects to it. It remains confusing. And I don't think it's just me. I get that I'm not, you know, diehard rugby fan. And some of the rules just, I mean, even the referees seem kind of confused about it. The announcers are confused about what's going on in the field at times. And I don't think it's just me not knowing rugby that well. I also feel like everybody on the field is sometimes confused about the actual rules of rugby.
Just a lot of confusion.
And what a knock-on, and there was a penalty. There was a penalty try awarded. No one in the booth could explain really what it was. The referees had to discuss it for about 6 minutes before they've kind of figured it out, and no one really had an idea. It's a some of the elements of the sport are a bit confusing.
I've been calling NLL games in the box. You can't get any closer to the action than, unless you're a player, than I get. I've been doing it 6 years. I've never missed a game. I rarely miss games on television. I watch on my iPad.
Right. You're a diehard now.
There are times that things happen, and the referee comes up through the hole, he goes, "All right, we got him." And I'm like, and I have to then go on the mic and be like, "We have a penalty on number," and the penalty is for holding the stick under his wiener. And that is, in fact, a penalty. And I had no idea that you couldn't hold the stick with your wiener.
I'm a pretty savvy sports watcher. I've done this professionally for 25 plus years. And I'm giving rugby a shot, and I do like it. I just cannot quite grasp it, and I wish the announcers could do a better job of explaining it to me, but they can't.
I can't.
Something happens, and they just don't know what's going on.
There's one guy, by the way. There's one referee in the NLL, and I don't know his name, but when I see him walking towards the glass, I go, "Oh, no!" Because I'll look to him and go, "What was that?" And he go, "I have no idea." Zero. And he's the guy. They won't let him out on the floor. He stays in the box with me.
Yeah.
He hasn't the foggiest idea of what's going on, and he's an actual official in the sport. When he walks in, I go, "Oh God!" I'll look at my guy next to me, and I'll go, "We're dead. I got no idea. I had no idea."
I mean, in rugby, they'll do the scrum, which is where all the teams, you know,
they get together,
push each other, get together, And then it'll break up, and sometimes they'll do it again. Sometimes they'll give it to the other team. Sometimes they'll give it to one team. And so there's never any rhyme or reason why this happens.
So they're in a scrum, and then there's the ball's on the ground.
Yeah, but they pass it around. One team gets to roll the ball in their direction, so they always have the inherent advantage. Unless the other team like pushes them back like 5 yards, there's no way they're going to get it. Which I don't quite understand why one team gets it to the other.
Is it they rotate?
But then I don't know. I think it's depend on what caused the scrum to begin with.
Oh, no.
But I can't figure it out.
She's doing a jump ball.
And they do those, the side outs. Like in soccer, if you kick the ball out of bounds, or like basketball, the other team gets to throw it in. But in rugby, sometimes the team that kicks it out gets to keep it, but then sometimes the team that doesn't kick it out gets to keep it. And I've watched about, 10 to 15 Legion games.
Wow.
And still, over the last 3 years, and I still can't quite figure this sport out.
M.M. McKee in the chat says, best rugby position, hooker second, tight head prop. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, they talked about the backup hooker a lot at the in the game yesterday. He scored a try.
The lot lizard of the group.
I felt like, I don't think I want to be known as the backup hooker.
You want to be front of the line. Not the bullpen.
The ace.
Yeah, you want to be the ace of the staff. Yeah, cricket's another one. Tried to watch that. It's
cricket. Because of John Boy's videos, I watched a little bit more and I get a little understanding. But then they post the score of a cricket game and I'm going, I have no idea what that means.
I'll tell you what, man. I went out and played some pickleball recently, which is, I was really down on it. And then I had a really fun time playing it with some friends. The scoring, you have to have a master's in Latin to actually understand how you score pickleball. For me, at least, they kept explaining. I'm like, someone just tell me what the score is. Because am I up? Am I down? I have no idea. It's the weirdest scoring. It's not like tennis.
You don't follow tennis.
It's not like ping pong, which is moronically
easy. Do
you
know how to keep scoring tennis?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 15, 30. 40, deuce, if you tie,
add in
or out, and no problem.
Some people like 5 instead of 15, which always confuses me.
Oh, they say 5
instead of 15.
5 love. Yeah,
but in professional tennis, it's always 15.
Yeah, 15, 30.
I mean, why can't we just do one?
One two, uniform.
Three, yeah, three,
one,
two, three. And four. Why 15, 30, 40?
6,
who came
12,
up with that?
Minus 18 for the last set. It's so weird, but yeah, I really enjoyed the pickleball experience. The scorekeeping is enough. Let's put it this way. It's enough to keep me away from doing it. Does that make sense? Like, I really
Carl
like
says it's just 0-11. You only score when you're serving.
Like, no, that's not it.
There's all
sorts of weird stuff.
No,
in
you
there.
Can score when you're not serving in ping pong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you have to.
It's like volleyball.
Used to be volleyball. You can score when you're not serving either. They have rally scoring.
Yeah, so. Pickleball was really. It was not just 1-11.
Right.
Maybe you're playing some rudimentary version, but I was playing like apparently the real deal, and it was. I'm going to keep
trying to figure rugby out.
All right.
While we do that, let's get some headlines from Paulie in the Rondell Report
and get things started here with our. Today's edition of the Rondell Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
We will start off in the NFL. Next Thursday, we will have a football game.
You're kidding.
Thursday, August 1st. It's the Hall of Fame game, Houston and Chicago. And then after that, preseason is on. And I saw a headline here about the Packers and their quarterback. And I go, I've heard this story before.
Yeah, this is a tale as old as time.
Now, I'm dying to know if you guys think this is a quarterback thing, if this is a Jordan Love thing, or if this is a Packers thing, or it's just how it is. But Jordan Love told the Packers that he will not practice until he gets a new contract.
He is under contract currently.
When I read that, I go, huh. They did this every year, it seemed like, with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And they must have thought, oh, we got rid of that problem. You know, he's New York's problem.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope.
Get that guy out of the building.
Happening again. Now, it seems like it's pretty amicable between the two sides. You know, he showed up for training camp on time, but, you know, he's basically said, like, look, I need a new deal. And the Packers have said, we understand where he's coming from, and we want to get this done. So it doesn't sound like it's going to get too crazy. But when I see that headline, number one NFL headline on ESPN, I go, do they not deal with this like every other year in Green Bay? It sure feels that way.
It says, without a new deal, Love would have only made $11 million this season on the final year of a mini extension he signed last May. The deal added 1 year this season, the 2024 season, to his rookie contract. So they added a year. Base salary for last year was $1 million. Now he's in line for one of the richest contracts in the league. Appears likely to join the $50 million a year club for Jordan Love.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence got a huge deal. Burrow got a huge deal. Prescott's going to get a huge deal.
I mean, it's just when it's your turn, you're going to be the next highest paid ever quarterback.
But I think to answer your question, Paulie, I think it's more of a football thing. And it's for a couple of different reasons. First of all, their contract structures. They're not entirely guaranteed.
Right.
You know, there's just weird things where they cut you and then they don't have to pay you in a lot of those deals. I mean, some of the quarterbacks are getting more guaranteed deals. And then the nature of foot, more likely that one day you get tackled the wrong way, a la Joe Theismann, and you're just done. And like, if you're not protected and you don't have that deal in place, if you're Jordan Love, yeah, you can play for $11 million. If you don't have that future deal in place and you have that one moment and you're like, I may never walk again, then you're not getting another dollar from your team after that. That's just the cold, hard reality.
Doesn't that work the other way, too, though?
Yes, it does.
You know, we are one play away.
But I think if you're the player and you feel like I'm risking my body for the team, they should be the ones that are stepping up and accepting more of that financial risk than me. I shouldn't have to accept
Correct.
Both the physical and financial risk at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, bro, we don't play in the NFL. I won't work a day without a contract. No, not a day. Not one. I learned my lesson well. Not one single show, not 1 minute of one show will I work without a signed deal. I just won't. And my life isn't at risk every day. We're contract employees. We have a contract. So, you know, it doesn't mean I'm a bad teammate. It means I'm looking out for myself. So and especially in his case, yeah, man, you gotta do what's right for you. 100%. And they'll get it done. They will absolutely get it done. It's just great. It's going to be a shocking number for Jordan Love.
Sure.
Yeah.
But they're always shocking
numbers. Yeah.
All right. Next up, kind of branching away from sports here, I got two stories that I think you guys will enjoy here. We will start off. This one's a little bit selfish, but he's one of my favorite musicians of all time. Chris Cornell. And I know, Woodsy, you feel the same way. He would have turned 60 over the weekend. Would have celebrated his 60th birthday on Saturday. And his widow, Vicky, she went on his Instagram, the official Chris Cornell Instagram account, and just posted a bunch of photos and videos, just kind of a tribute to him. Very sweet, warm message. But it was the song that was used in the post that everyone was talking about. She shared a clip of a cover of Chris Cornell singing Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Ooh. Wow.
And I've heard unreleased before.
I've heard all his covers.
Yeah, everyone
he's got
goes,
a million.
Where the hell has this been? And she kind of teased, like, yeah, this may be released. Something along the lines of more music to come.
Think
like,
about the archives of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That we haven't heard yet.
Yeah. I just wanted to play. It was just a snippet of Fast Car by Chris Cornell.
It's incredible.
Enjoy. Because this, I mean, he's incredible. And that song's incredible. You thought, yeah, I need this.
A fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we can make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better.
Jesus. God.
Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. So I'm out moving. We were driving in your car. Speed so fast, felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us. Your arm felt fun.
What a loss.
Had a feeling that I could be someone.
on the drive, had a little Weiland on the drive the other day, and just was thinking to myself, my favorite people are just gone, and it's just the worst. It's the worst. That man at 60 would have been still making
incredible,
beautiful music.
Yeah,
we were
robbed.
Guts my soul.
Fans of his. The quote that Vicky used in her message was, "He's an icon, and he gave us all so much. His unique voice, his poetry, his creativity, his life was a gift to so many. And as you can hear, there's more to come." So everyone's like, "Okay, like bring it on,
bring it on." There, there's a song he does. It's called "The Keeper," and it was for a movie called something about a preacher. It was with. It was like remember the preacher went to Africa and built churches and like, you know, he had to like fight people to build these churches. What was he called?
Sounds like a good movie.
It was really good. Gerard Butler's in it. He's a badass. But the name of the song is called "The Keeper." I can't even play it because I just start sobbing every time I hear it. And it's one of his more
Machine Gun Preacher.
Yeah,
2011.
Gerard Butler. The great Gerard Butler, and the title track is "The Keeper," and it brings you to your knees. It's that beautiful, and when you watch the movie and listen to it, it's incredible. So I'm just really bummed.
Yeah, and then finally, Woodsy, you sent this story over my way.
My fantasy. It's my fantasy. It's my sexual fantasy.
So I had to read this story because it was kind of misleading. I thought somebody stumbled across something at a Goodwill, like
right.
Searching through a Goodwill store, and they found something that they thought was incredibly valuable.
Correct.
Which we've seen those stories before. Designer clothes or something. You're like, this is worth $1,000. I can get it for 50 cents.
A Banksy painting or something right. That's at Goodwill. Or you peel back one layer, like, oh, look at that. It's Van Gogh. Like, my fantasy.
Found in a basement.
It's my fantasy.
So this was a little bit different than that. He didn't just stumble across it in a store. But Goodwill, I didn't know this, they have an online thrift store.
Sure.
And part of that online thrift store is an auction. And somebody bought a piece of a tent belonging to George Washington.
George Washington!
Wow.
They believe, it's been authenticated, they believe it was from his dining tent.
His dining tent.
It's framed, and there is like a letter on there, and it looks really cool. It went to auction on Goodwill's site, and it sold. The guy bought it for $1,700.
It's nothing.
Knowing or believing that this has to be worth.
That's authentic. It's got to be worth way more than that.
Thousands of bucks.
Yes.
So it wasn't like, he wasn't just like shopping in person. He's like, wait, what is this?
What is this?
Because I was like, I don't think Goodwill sells stuff for $1,700 in their stores. They would have thought it was fake and maybe sold it for $20. But yeah, he went on there and bought it for $1,700. And he said, you know, he was very skeptical about it being a fake or something and wants to get it authenticated. And he believes he can turn it around and make a ton of money on it.
That's a cool ass artifact.
Now, the opposite side of that, did you see the story over the weekend of the entire Stegosaurus skeleton that was put up for auction? And they thought maybe about $6 million is what it would be worth. Sold for $44 million.
Oh, good Lord.
Like an entire dinosaur skeleton. Now, people are upset. They think these should be in museums. Private people shouldn't be able to just buy full dinosaur skeletons. But it was worth, someone paid $44 million for a $150 million-year-old Stegosaurus skeleton.
I would like to be that wealthy where you walked in. Guys, come on over for a barbecue. And you walk in. What is this? Oh, it's a Stegosaurus. Just bought it. It's just a full right in the foyer of my house.
That's probably what they're doing.
It's a big ass Stegosaurus. It's a real deal. What'd you pay for this? $66 million? Just money to burn.
This is our Stegosaurus room.
Yeah, where we Stegosaurus keep our here.
Stegosaurus.
Just mind the Stegosaurus. Please don't get too close to it. No, it's my dream to like go to a garage sale and find some record.
Right.
You know, Nirvana's Love Buzz record that's worth like $4,000. Get it for a quarter. Or something. That's like my fantasy. I'm sure people out there have found hidden treasures. What was that show? Antiques Roadshow?
Yeah.
I would watch it hungover and just watch it for hours.
I really
want to
take the Civil War pickle.
The Civil War pickle. It's like your greatest
Roadshow.
It's your greatest artifact.
See what that would sell for.
It's a real pickle from the Civil War, you guys. I've seen it. It's white.
It's
now.
In a jar.
It's in a jar.
I mean, you need to bring that to the pawn shop, guys, next time you go to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Pickle in a Jar.
Pickle in a Jar.
You would be featured on the show, for sure.
The 1860s.
Do you have authentication for it?
I don't have any documentation. But
there's that sticker. It's a Civil War pickle.
I mean, they could probably like carbon date it or something.
Something.
I don't know. They had to grow it in the bottle. And then they pickled it.
Look, like any collectible, you got to get it authenticated. I bet there's a process.
I'm not a thief, but I have considered stealing the Civil War pickle. I've told him I want it for my own self.
Ocean's 14.
I was like a Civil War buff when I was a kid. I used to go to Civil War battle sites like Shiloh in Tennessee.
I don't think this pickle fought in the Civil War or was taken to any battle
site. There was war around it.
Yeah.
There was war around that pickle. That pickle has seen more than you give it credit for. But I want it. I want it bad.
Paulie, good job, as always. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got Sebastian Maniscalco tickets to give away. Plus, what was the most underrated sporting event of the weekend? You probably have no idea.
I have no idea.
I will let you know when we come back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
So I probably wouldn't have watched this event had I not been working on Saturday night, and it had already been on ABC 10. But since I was at my desk and, well, you know, I have the channel on, I did catch during the Padres game some of the WNBA Team USA All-Star Game.
The All-Star Game, yeah.
And I've got to say, you can't really recreate that anywhere else. But it was probably the most compelling All-Star Game I've ever seen.
I heard they played actual defense.
They did?
On Caitlin Clark.
You know, it was Caitlin Clark and Angel.
I saw Kelsey Plum in her grill.
So many storylines, because the WNBA All-Stars had Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese on the same team.
Yeah.
And then they had Arike Ogunbowale, who scored 0 in the first half, 34 in the second half.
Oh, my God.
And Team USA, which has, you know, all the Olympic stars, like Diana Taurasi, who are going to Paris, they end up losing, which is like kind of, A little bit embarrassing to the you know, the non-Olympic stars who didn't make the team, but they cared. You know, both sides definitely wanted to win that game, and it just added a little bit of extra drama and theater that I don't know how you could ever create that in a a non-Olympic basketball or a baseball game, you know. But with, you know, like last week, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred talking about ways they could change the All-Star game. We talked about it a little bit, too. Now that there's interleague play every season, every team, the All-Star game loses some of its luster, just being a National League versus American League format every year, because the leagues aren't quite as separate. It's not like you don't get a chance to see your pitchers go against Aaron Judge. Every year we get to see Padres now face Aaron Judge, or the other, you know, the American League gets to face Shohei Ohtani now. Would there be anything that you could do that could up the drama for a Major League Baseball All-Star game by changing the composition of the two teams?
No, it's
East,
awesome.
East versus West? Yeah, you wouldn't change it at all.
I love it. I think
American and National, I'd change keep with tradition.
I'd change the uniforms. That's it. Just put them back in their normal team's uniforms. If you're the away team, the away league, then you wear your road stuff and you go,
I mean,
go nuts.
I think you do.
I'm at the point where I'd rather watch them play a wiffle ball game.
That's garbage. I'm watching Paul Skeens throw 100 miles an hour. He's not taking anything off.
It doesn't mean anything.
I think,
in the World Baseball Classic, it was awesome when you saw Shohei go against Trout because they were actually competing for something.
Here's my idea. And granted, there'd probably be more people who hated it and missed the tradition. You'd probably be one of them. But what if instead of American League versus National League, you did like the young stars, guys who are still under team control, first 6-year players against veterans. And it was the young guys are under 30 against over 30 or 28 or whatever.
I'm all
Would that not be compelling? Would that not be a little more incentive? Both sides would not want to be embarrassed. The veterans wouldn't want to be embarrassed by the rookies. The rookies, the young guys, would want to kind
I'm
of show up the older players.
I'm down 1,000%.
This is my own idea here.
Would you have enough of each?
Of course. I mean, I think it's a pretty even mix right now. I mean, look at this year's All-Star game, how many young guys were there. But there's always going to be veterans that fill out an All-Star team.
Yeah.
And you just have two teams. One, you know, 30.
You had Jackson 30 Merrill
guys
going
who are like
Jerks and Profar.
Under 28. Yeah. Wherever you set the line. And then wherever you set the line, you have 30 guys that are over 28.
Okay.
And that's who plays against each other in the All-Star game.
I'm all
game.
In. I think that would be high drama. High drama.
Wouldn't it, though?
Because I watched a... there was I think it's the PLL, the Premier Lacrosse League. It's not the NLL. It's the outdoor, right? There was a big controversy last week, you guys. A rookie in his first All-Star game did some crazy move and juked out this veteran guy. This veteran guy went on Instagram, was like, try hard rookie, and everyone attacked him. Because this rookie was in his first... they had mic'd up segments, and the guy's like, hey, have you talked to him yet? You told him this is not what we do. And people were like, bro, he's a rookie, like, playing in an All-Star game. He's playing hard. He's playing hard, right? And so the veteran got mad. Like, hey, what are you doing, try hard Charlie Hustle? It was pretty dope.
Think about, you'd have, like, the swaggy... young team with the Tatises and celebrating their home runs.
Get
you'd
the rosters up. Let's.
You'd have older players like the Verlanders and stuff on the veteran team.
Pull up the rosters. I want to see what it would come up with in the next segment.
All right, let's do that in the next segment.
What
right
would
now,
it have looked like?
What would it have looked like? That's very. I'm very curious about
That's
that.
A good
let's
idea,
give away
Benny.
Some tickets right now. We got a pair of tickets to Sebastian Maniscalco at Viejas Arena on August 16th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, but you can win a pair right now. Be the fourth caller, 833-288-0973. Fourth caller, going to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Sebastian Maniscalco at Viejas Arena on August 16th. We'll come back, talk a little more of my All-Star idea, and then come back, maybe some of the Hall of Fame stuff.
Yeah.
Good speeches, good moments yesterday from Cooperstown, and then the class of 2025. Who's next up? Possibly, as we wrap things up with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Seeing some positive reaction to my idea for the MLB All-Star game.
Get Rob Manfred on the phone. I doubt he'd care to take your call.
Young guys versus old guys. And so we just did a quick review, and I'm just going to go with the starting lineups for the National and American League from the games just played last week. And obviously, you'd have to account for positions. But if you went with just the young guys, like if you made 28 the cutoff line,
right,
the under 28 team would have William Contreras, Alec Bohm, Paul Skeens starting, Stephen Kwan, Gunnar Henderson, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Adley Rutschman would all be starters for the unders. And then the overs would have, you know, Shohei, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Yelich, Teoscar, Jurickson would be on the overs, Judge would be on the overs, Corbin Burns would be the pitcher on the overs. So
nasty.
You kind of have a, and let's see, Juan Soto would be on the youngers.
Wow.
Jose Ramirez would be on the overs. I mean, it'd be a pretty interesting separation and mix for the two teams.
Yeah, you know, probably year one, you know, let's kind of feel this thing out. And if the youngs beat the olds next year would come to play. I think that's a really good
All-star
idea.
MVP Jaron Duran would have just been on the youngers.
Yep.
He's 27. So you'd have some of those kind of cutoff guys. But it would definitely be interesting.
And spice it up a little bit.
I think so, too.
I thought there was nothing wrong with it. Now you're doing this, and now I'm going to miss this next year.
I feel like the players would care a little bit more than they do. You know, playing for the pride of the National or the American League now just doesn't mean as much.
No, it definitely doesn't.
But kind of playing for your generation, you know, millennials versus the older guys. I mean, they're all kind of millennials at this point.
But still.
I just feel like there is kind of a line there where it's young versus old would have a compelling factor, maybe more than the other sports, even the young versus the old.
I like it
in baseball.
What if they lined up all 50 all stars or whatever, and had two captains, maybe the top two in MVP voting the year before or whatever, and mic'd up and on the field in uniforms, they go Sandlot rules.
Just pick
and
teams.
They do like the baseball bat, you know, the hands. All right, I'm first captain.
They kind of did that in basketball a couple
of
years ago.
They did the draft inside the NBA, I think,
yeah,
during a Thursday night game. So kind of that same idea. And then they're like, all right, I got Shohei. All right, I got Tatis. I've got Judge. Well, I got Soto.
I'd watch
and they
that.
Just kind of pick and choose. And then all of a sudden you're like, who's going to be last? Who's going to be last?
To pick David Fry from the Cleveland Guardians. He's like, I'm a big leaguer. I thought I got away from this. Just starters, then. You can just do starters and then kind of whack up the neck. I don't know how you would do it without two guys standing on the field by themselves. Like,
bro, that's must-see TV.
Matt Strom standing there. Like, you might need a lefty.
Bryce Harper didn't pick Matt Strom. He's like, F you,
like,
dude,
bro. He's like, dude, I'm sorry. I had a chance to get Corbin Burns. What do you want me to do?
I'd watch the hell out of that, too.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, I love it as it is. I love it. I love the All-Star game. Love it. The Derby needed some work this year. It just needs more star power, fewer shortstops in it. And as good as those
what
guys are.
What can the league do about that, though?
Nothing. You can't do anything.
You can't make Otani and Soto and Judge do the home run derby if they don't want
to. Pete Alonso's the only guy that's running, waving, campaigning to get in it. He's one guy that wants to do it. You have one guy that wants to do it every year. And then a couple of the guys, like Teoscar.
The NBA wanted LeBron to do the dunk contest. He never did. There's no amount of money that LeBron needed.
I don't know why he never did it. Never did it once. Once. When he was 22.
Well, he couldn't after his first 3 years or whatever. It's the Rising Stars dunk contest.
They changed it. Yeah, it's true.
Which sucks.
I'm sure if he raised his hand and said, I'll do it, they completely changed the rules if they want.
The coincidence is why. We just got rid of the Rising Stars. We're going back the old way.
Right. But like Shohei Ohtani, you can't say, hey, you'll get $10 million if you win. He's like, I don't need $10 million.
That'd be so much fun.
Well, he might, actually, but...
Yeah.
Why?
Because Ipe stole $16 million.
Oh, Shohei.
Shohei might need the $10 million.
I thought you meant
LeBron. No, Shohei might need to make up all that money that he had stolen from him.
Yes.
All right, let's check traffic. When we come back, Paulie's got a list of the potential 2025 Hall of Famers after yesterday's induction ceremony in Cooperstown. And you'll hear why Woods was tearing up a little bit earlier this morning.
Just
coming up
you.
Next year on 97.3 The Fan. I feel like if baseball does end up doing this next year, I want to get credit for it.
I think you should be the man at home plate. Somebody's going to steal your idea.
I know. I didn't trademark it or anything.
You're no Michael Buffer, are you?
Exactly.
Should I do it?
No.
See if he comes against me?
No.
Right,
we have
ready?
To sign.
Here we go.
Like
three.
No. Don't
two,
do it. Don't
one.
Do it. You're going to get fired. We have to sign like documents every year saying we will not say those words on the radio.
Yeah, the second radio station that we worked at that just got the plug pulled on them.
My last day on the air, should I just leave everybody with a Michael Buffer and two middle fingers up?
Just get it.
Just get it. Somebody's listening right now. They're like, he got really close. He had two notes.
Michael Buffer's nephew is probably listening. They listen to everything.
You can say, let's get.
No.
We're allowed to say, let's get. Let's get talking about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Hey, are you ready to tell us the story of the Hall of Fame induction?
I'm not tempting fate. Rumble.
Those rumble strips on the freeway
that keep you in the lanes. Hate them.
Kind of bumble and rumble.
No, I missed.
Adam's literally just sitting there like this.
He's in jury duty right now, by the way.
Oh! Yes, he is.
God, this sucker.
Doing his civic duty this morning. I haven't heard from him. I wonder if he got picked for a trial.
Hey.
Do you imagine being stuck in a jury room for hours with Adam?
Hey. He's guilty of all charges. We're a hung jury.
I think he would like it because I actually have done kind of juries.
We the people of San Diego.
It's kind of like a round table when you're in there.
Oh, God, he loves
it. You're discussing something, a bunch of people all around a table discussing something. I think he's going to love it, actually.
Oh, it's so good. All right. What were we doing?
We're going to do Hall of Fame. First of all, let's play some of the sound because Woodsy was kind of tearing up a little bit this morning.
Jim Leland got me.
Jim Leland, yeah. One of the four inductees yesterday in Cooperstown, New York. The former manager of the Detroit Tigers and won a World Series with the Miami Marlins or Florida Marlins back then. And he came prepared with his speech, knocked it out of the park.
Say this to the fans. No matter which Hall of Fame you're here to support today, or which team you cheer for, your presence is always felt. On your feet in the ninth, with the home team clinging to a one-run lead, turning on your television for the first game of the World Series, and seeing 50,000 fans waving towels, hoping and praying that this may be their year. Or a little boy or girl getting their first autograph and scurrying back to the stands to show mom and dad their latest treasure. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you. That's baseball. And this is the Hall of Fame. Thank you very much.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Big shout out to the fans. Just love it. Love Jim Leland always. Another really funny story. Did you see what
he said?
He
didn't light up a cigarette.
No,
he was ripping a heater while he was up there. That would be very appropriate.
That would have been pretty epic. But he did say, so this is pretty funny. Jim Leland recalled a coffee date with his wife a couple of weeks after being elected into the Hall of Fame. I said, Katie, could you believe in your wildest dreams that I'd be going to the Hall of Fame? And Katie replied, Jim, you're not in my wildest dreams. Very Hannah Mancaro Woods of her. Just incredible. Just an incredible, incredible feat to get to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So it was Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton who were all inducted. Was not like 1,000 degrees like it seems like it is every year. It was actually a pretty nice day. Neisha Gwynn was there to sing the national anthem, which was cool. I did not know that was going to happen, but she performed a lovely rendition, and they had the ceremony. And now it's time to look ahead to 2025. And obviously, you got some of the holdovers who didn't get 75% of the vote this year. But who are the new, Pauly, 2025 first-year eligible players for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, the holdovers, you had to receive more than 25% of the vote. So it's Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones, Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, Chase Utley, and Billy Wagner. And then the newcomers eligible for the first time are Felix Hernandez.
In.
Ian Kinsler.
Out.
Dustin Pedroia.
In.
CeCe Sabathia.
In.
And Ichiro.
In.
I don't know about Pedroia. Right. I want to look at his numbers.
There's no question. For me, such a gamer. Such an elite player. Never liked him. Always respected him. What is
it? 140 home runs.
How many years did
299 batting average.
299.
He played about
13
seasons.
Years. Yep.
I don't think so.
Really? Hall of Very Good?
My
gut when I just read the name was no.
God, but see, my gut said absolutely. Such a big game player, too.
I think...
Did win the MVP in 2008.
I think the locks are CeCe and Ichiro.
Who are they again? CeCe, Ichiro.
Felix Hernandez.
Felix is a lock.
I think so.
He's a
lock. I agree.
I mean,
he's a lock. Ichiro's the
never
the
pitched
big,
in the playoffs.
Ichiro is potentially a...
Unanimous
choice.
100%.
I feel like... CeCe is a strong choice.
He
may not be unanimous, but very strong. Felix, I think, very, very strong. He might get, 80 to 90.
I think somebody people out there would be like, he didn't pitch in the playoffs. The only year he won the Cy Young, he
might get in, but I don't think it's first year. Yeah. I don't think it's a first ballot Hall
of Famer.
If
Jeff Kent's not in, you can't really put Dustin Pedroia in as a second baseman, but I would. He's in my personal Woodsy's Hall of Fame. Which is filled to the rafters with really good players. You know, I don't get too upset about the Hall of Fame anymore. After Harold Baines got in, all bets were off as far as I was concerned. So
that's a pretty big new class though of guys who are going to take a lot of the votes, which means the holdovers might have a tougher time getting in because usually, we've got more votes to spread around, but with all those guys coming in, you won't have as many votes to spread around the bottom of your ballot.
We know Bonds obviously didn't get it. Do you think A-Rod ever gets in?
No.
I don't think so.
Either.
Not the voting way.
Nope.
I mean, the writers have made it fairly clear that while most of them do agree that they should be in, not 75%, and it's never going to be 75%.
You're going to need some churn. Need some churn. If A-Rod gets in, it will be probably.
And you only get 10 years on the ballot, and it's not going to be enough churn by then. So, no, maybe some other way, veterans type committee way in the future after some attitudes change and things are reviewed, maybe through a different lens.
In. Yeah, David Ortiz
got in. Piazza got in.
Yep. David Ortiz was on the Mitchell Report.
Doesn't work that way.
No, he didn't. A-Rod didn't smile enough. It's not goofy enough.
There is a difference between the Mitchell report and actually like being suspended.
Sure,
though,
none of these guys tested positive. Barry Bonds never did.
True.
Never. So, if we're doing letter of the law type bits here.
Just interesting how that works.
But it is weird. It's a lot of politics, which, by the way, it's just like life. I mean, it's no different than life. A lot of politics. It's who you know. It's how you act. It's how you acted in your career. And that some guys pissed off some sports writers that will never get over it and they'll never get in. But, in my mind, I just remember Pedroia just always in the action. Just always, always winning. He's just a winning player. I've showed my son. Play like him. Bo's not very tall. He's got a lot of kids are kind of getting tall over him. And I go, it's fine. Play like him. Play just like that dude. And you will be, he's a dirtbag. Just an elite, elite second baseman, gamer type player. Play just like him. And you will be fine.
Mailman Rob says, just name it the Hall of Very Good. He says that thing's a joke now. I don't think it's a joke. But.
It's omitting a lot of the best baseball players of all time.
But, and it's also including some who aren't truly transcendent.
Transcendent, yeah.
It's just kind of a weird mix of guys who are really, truly spectacular. And others who just had good long careers or a few good years and were very well liked by people, especially writers, during their time. All right, that is all our time for today. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6. Get you ready for the Padres National Series in Washington. The reunion with James Wood coming up. We'll talk all about it. Jesse Agler will join us. For Paul Reindl and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday. Andy and Elston up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Seeing some positive reaction to my idea for the MLB All-Star Game.
Get Rob Manfred on the phone. I doubt he'd care to take your call.
Young guys versus old guys. And so we just did a quick review. And I'm just going to go with the starting lineups for the National and American League. From the games just played last week. And obviously, you'd have to account for positions. But if you went with just the young guys, like if you made 28 the cutoff line, the under 28 team would have William Contreras, Alec Bohm, Paul Skenes starting, Stephen Kwan, Gunnar Henderson, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Adley Rutschman would all be starters for the unders. And then the overs would have, Shohei, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper. Yelich, Teoscar, Jurickson would be on the overs. Judge would be on the overs. Corbin Burns would be the pitcher on the overs. So
nasty.
You kind of have a and let's see. Juan Soto would be on the youngers.
Wow.
Jose Ramirez would be on the overs. I mean, It'd be a pretty interesting separation and mix for the two teams.
Yeah, you know, probably year one, you know, let's kind of feel this thing out. And if the Youngs beat the Olds next year would come to play. I think that'd be a really good
All-Star
idea.
MVP Jaren Duran would have just been on the Youngers.
Yep.
He's 27. So you'd have some of those kind of cutoff guys. But it would be it would definitely be interesting.
And spice it up a little bit.
I think so.
I think so, too.
I
thought there was nothing wrong with it. Now you're doing this, and now I'm going to miss this next year.
I feel like the players would care a little bit more than they do. You know, playing for the pride of the National or the American League now just doesn't mean as much.
No, it definitely doesn't.
But kind of playing for your generation, you know, millennials versus the older guys. I mean, they're all kind of millennials at this point.
They are, but still.
I just feel like there is kind of a line there where it's young versus old would have a compelling factor, maybe more than the other sports even. The young versus the old.
I like it.
In baseball.
I like it.
What if they lined up all 50 All-Stars or whatever and had two captains, maybe the top two in MVP voting the year before or whatever, and mic'd up and on the field in uniforms, they go Sandlot rules.
Just pick
and
teams.
And they do like the baseball bat, you know, the hands. All right, I'm first captain.
They kind of did that in basketball a couple
of
years
ago.
They did
the draft.
Yeah, they did draft.
Inside the NBA, I think, during a Thursday night game. So kind of that same idea. And then they're like, all right, I got Shohei. All right, I got Tatis. I've got Judge. Well, I got Soto.
I'd watch
and they
that.
Just kind of pick and choose. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, who's going to be last? Who's going to be last?
To pick David Fry from the Cleveland Guardians. He's like, I'm a big leaguer. I thought I got away from this. Just starters then. You can just do starters and then kind of whack up the net. I don't know how you would do it without two guys standing on the field by themselves. Like,
bro, that's must-see TV.
Matt Strom standing there. Like, you might need a lefty.
Bryce Harper didn't pick Matt Strom. He's like, F you, dude.
Like, bro. He's like, dude, I'm sorry. I had a chance to get Corbin Burns. What do you want me to do?
I'd watch the hell out of that, too.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, I love it as it is. I love it. I love the All-Star game. Love it, love it, love it. The Derby needed some work this year. It just needs more star power, fewer shortstops in it. And as good as those
what
guys are.
What can the league do about that, though?
Nothing. Nothing. You can't do anything.
You can't make Otani and Soto and Judge do the home run derby if they don't want
Pete Alonso's the only guy that's running, waving, campaigning to get in it. He's one guy that wants to do it. You have one guy that wants to do it every year. And then a couple of the guys, like Teoscar.
The NBA wanted LeBron to do the dunk contest. He never did. There's no amount of money that LeBron needed.
I don't know why he never did it. Never did it once. Once. When he was 22.
Well, he couldn't after his first 3 years or whatever. That's the Rising Stars dunk contest.
Yeah, they changed it. Yeah, it's true.
Which sucks.
I'm sure if he raised his hand
if he said, I'll do it.
You know what, I'd
like
to do it. They completely changed the rules if
just,
they want.
The coincidence is why. We just got rid of the Rising Stars. We're going back the old way.
Right. But like Shohei Ohtani, you can't say, hey, you'll get $10 million if you win. He's like, I don't need $10 million.
That'd be so much fun.
Well, he might, actually, but...
Yeah.
Why?
All right.
Why?
Because Ipe stole $16 million.
Oh, Shohei.
Shohei might need the $10 million.
I thought you meant LeBron.
No, Shohei might need it. Make up all that money that he had stolen from it.
Yes.
All right. Let's check traffic. When we come back, Paulie's got a list of the potential 2025 Hall of Famers after yesterday's induction ceremony in Cooperstown. And you'll hear why Woods was tearing up a little bit earlier this morning.
This coming
up
you.
Next year on 97.3 The Fan. I feel like if baseball does end up doing this next year, I want to get credit for it.
I think you should be the man at home plate. Somebody's going to steal your idea.
I know. I didn't trademark it or anything.
You're no Michael Buffer, are you?
Exactly.
Should I do it?
No,
see if he comes against me.
No,
are
no.
You
we have
ready?
To sign like
three.
No, don't
two,
do it. Don't
one.
Do it. You're
going
to get fired. We have to sign like documents every year saying we will not say those words on the radio.
The second radio station that we worked at that just got the plug pulled on them.
My last day on the air, should I just leave everybody with a Michael Buffer and two middle fingers up? Just get it. Somebody's listening right now. They're like, he got really close. He had two notes.
Michael Buffer's nephew is probably listening.
Yeah, yeah.
They listen
I mean, you
to
can
everything.
Say let's get.
No,
on the radio.
No.
We're allowed to say let's get. Let's get talking about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Hey, are you ready to tell us the story of the Hall of Fame induction?
I'm not tempting fate. Rumble.
Rumble.
Those rumble strips on the freeway.
Oh, that hate
keep
those
you
things.
In the lanes.
Hate them.
The little kind of bumble and rumble.
No, I missed.
Adam's literally just sitting there like this. Just
he's
like,
in jury duty right now, by the way.
Oh, yes, he is.
God, this sucker.
Doing his civic duty this morning. I haven't heard from him. I wonder if he got picked for a trial.
Hey.
Can you imagine guilty. Being stuck in
he's
a jury room
he's
for
the
hours
foreman.
With Adam?
Hey, he's guilty of all charges. We're a hung jury.
I think he would like it because I actually have done kind of juries.
We the people of San Diego.
It's kind of like a round table when you're in there.
Oh, God, he loves
you're,
it.
You're discussing something, all like a bunch of people all around a table discussing something. I think he's going to love it, actually.
Oh, it's so good. All right, what were we doing?
We're going to do Hall of Fame. First of all, let's play some of the sound because Woodsy was kind of tearing up a little bit this morning.
Jim Leland got me.
Jim Leland, yeah, one of the four inductees yesterday in Cooperstown, New York. The former manager of the Detroit Tigers and won a World Series with the Miami Marlins or Florida Marlins back then. And he came prepared with his speech, knocked it out of the park.
Say this to the fans. No matter which Hall of Famer you're here to support today or which team you cheer for, your presence is always felt. On your feet in the ninth, with the home team clinging to a one-run lead, turning on your television for the first game of the World Series and seeing 50,000 fans waving towels, hoping and praying that this may be their year. Or a little boy or girl getting their first autograph and scurrying back to the stands to show mom and dad their latest treasure. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you. That's baseball. And this is the Hall of Fame. Thank you very much.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Big shout out to the fans. Just love it. Love Jim Leland always. Another really funny story. Did you see what he said?
He didn't light up a cigarette.
No,
while
he was not ripping
was
a heater.
I thought that would be very appropriate.
That would have been pretty epic. But he did say, so this is pretty funny. Jim Leland recalled a coffee date with his wife a couple of weeks after being elected into the Hall of Fame. I said, Katie, could you believe in your wildest dreams that I'd be going to the Hall of Fame? And Katie replied, Jim, you're not in my wildest dreams. Very Hannah Nancarrow Woods of her. Just incredible. Just an incredible, incredible feat to get to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So it was Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton who were all inducted. Was not like 1,000 degrees like it seems like it is every year. It was actually a pretty nice day. Nisha Gwynn was there to sing the national anthem, which was cool. I did not know that was going to happen, but she performed lovely rendition, and they had the ceremony. And now it's time to look ahead to 2025. And obviously, you got some of the holdovers who didn't get 75% of the vote this year. But who are the new, Paulie, 2025 first-year eligible players for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, the holdovers, you had to receive more than 25% of the vote. So it's Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones, Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, Chase Utley, and Billy Wagner. And then the newcomers eligible for the first time are Felix Hernandez.
In.
Ian Kinsler.
Out.
Dustin Pedroia.
In.
CeCe Sabathia.
In.
And Ichiro.
In.
I don't know about Pedroia. I want to look at his numbers.
There's no question. For me, such a gamer. Such an elite player. Never liked him. Always respected him. What is
it? It's 140 home runs.
How many years?
299 batting average.
299.
He played about
13
seasons.
Years.
Yep. I don't think so.
Really? Hall of very good?
My gut when I just read the name was no.
God, but see, my gut said absolutely. Such a big game player too.
I think
did win the MVP in 2008.
I think the locks are CeCe and Ichiro.
Who are they again? CeCe, Ichiro.
Felix Hernandez.
Felix is a lock.
I think so.
He's a lock. So,
yeah, I agree.
I mean,
he's a lock.
Ichiro's the
never
the
pitched
big,
in the playoffs.
Ichiro is potentially a
unanimous
choice.
100%.
I feel like CeCe is a strong choice.
He's
may not be unanimous, but very strong. Felix, I think, very, very strong. He might get, you know, 80 to 90.
I think somebody out there, people out there would be like, I didn't pitch in the playoffs. The only year he won the Cy Young,
might get in, but I don't think it's first year. Yeah. I don't think it's a first ballot Hall.
I guess if Jeff Kent's not in, you can't really put Dustin Pedroia in as a second baseman. But I would. He's in my personal Woodsy's Hall of Fame, which is filled to the rafters with really good players. You know, I don't get too upset about the Hall of Fame anymore. After Harold Baines got in, all bets were off as far as I was concerned. So
that's a pretty big new class, though, of guys who are going to take a lot of the votes, which means the holdovers might have a tougher time getting in because usually, we've got more votes to spread around, but with all those guys coming in, you won't have as many votes to spread around the bottom of your ballot.
We know Bonds obviously didn't get it. Do you think A-Rod ever gets in?
No.
I don't think so.
Not the voting way.
Nope.
I mean, the writers have made it fairly clear that while most of them do agree that they should be in, not 75%, and it's never going to be 75%.
You're going to need some churn. Need some churn. If A-Rod gets in, it will be probably.
And you only get 10 years on the ballot, and it's not going to be enough churn by then. So, no, maybe some other way, veterans type committee way in the future after some attitudes change.
Yeah.
And things are viewed through a different lens.
In. Yeah, David Ortiz
got in. Piazza got in.
Yep. David Ortiz was on the Mitchell Report.
Doesn't work that way.
No, A-Rod didn't smile enough. It's not goofy enough.
There is a difference between the Mitchell Report and actually being suspended.
Sure,
though,
none of these guys tested positive. Barry Bonds never did.
True.
Never. So, if we're doing letter of the law type bits here.
Just interesting how that works.
But it is weird. It's a lot of politics, which, by the way, it's just like life. I mean, it's no different than life. A lot of politics. It's who you know. It's how you act. It's how you acted in your career. And that some guys pissed off some sports writers that will never get over it, and they'll never get in. But, in my mind, I just remember Pedroia just always in the action. Just always, always winning. He's just a winning player. I've showed my son. Play like him. Bo's not very tall. He's got a lot of kids are kind of getting tall over him. And I go, it's fine. Play like him. Play just like that dude. And you will be, he's a dirtbag. Just an elite, elite second baseman, gamer type player. Play just like him. And you will be fine.
Mailman Rob says, just name it the Hall of Very Good. He says that thing's a joke now. I don't think it's a joke. But
it's omitting a lot of the best baseball players of all time.
But, and it's also including some who aren't truly transcendent.
Transcendent, yeah.
It's just kind of a weird mix of guys who are really, truly spectacular and others who just had good long careers or a few good years and were very well liked by people, especially writers, during their time. All right, that is all our time for today. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6, get you ready for the Padres National Series in Washington. The reunion with James Wood coming up. We'll talk all about it. Jesse Agler will join us. For Paul Reindl and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday. Annie and Elston up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.